Memorandum. He failed to receive the same memorandum that apparently everyone else had received. He kept looking around, slightly stunned to notice that he'd been left out, slightly delighted to learn that nobody had noticed he'd been left out. All the others seemed to have read the same set of instructions. People talked about their recent haircuts to his amazement, since he had stopped getting his haircut many years ago. He simply chopped it off with the scissors in the bathroom when it got too long. He noticed that many men smelt of aftershave lotion. He'd stopped shaving long ago, because one day he suddenly realized that he no longer had a boss and that there was no reason to shave his beard. He noticed men going to their jobs in neatly starched shirts and expensive ties. How quaint, he thought. He no longer wore anything to work that required ironing, and a tie existed only to wear as a gag. He owned a Porky Pig tie, a Grinch tie, and a Jelly Bean tie, a Charlie Brown and Gang tie, as well as a tie pin that twinkled. He noticed that people owned many pairs of shoes, but he could never figure out why. He owned one pair of shoes. When that pair wore out, he would purchase another pair. He knew from their conversations that other people spent a lot of time at shopping places, but he could never think of a good reason to attend one of these places because they seemed to sell new things. He tended to go only to places selling old things, old bookstores, old antique stores, old junk stores, and the like. He'd never even been inside a large chain bookstore because when he needed a new book, he went to the only independent new bookstore in town whose owner had been in the business for 40 years and knew his stock blindfolded. The rest of the time, he simply read old books, old magazines, old castaway newspapers. The only time he ever read a new newspaper was when he was caught having lunch alone with nothing in his pocket to read. Then he would turn to the Good Neighbors column, or the want ads, or the comics page, and attempt to ignore the other horrors presenting themselves from throughout the world. He noted that other people always knew what had been on television the night before, or in the paper the day before, mainly because they would call his shop and request whatever book they had been told was hot. He tried to help them, though he secretly enjoyed browsers who came in to find a surprise that they did not know they wanted until they passed by it on the shelf and it beckoned to them. A wide variety of music styles came at him whenever he went to a grocery store or a pharmacy or a laundry or a lobby, and all the styles seemed highly amplified and garbled to him. They all sounded just about alike, heavily amplified drum beats and strident saxophones and nervous electric guitars, and singers whining about or profaning their dysfunctional love lives. How long had it been since he'd been in a store or restaurant that played soothing string quartet music or mellow jazz or old-time vocalists whose lyrics were clearly enunciated so that he could enjoy the little stories they had to tell? There were times he knew full well that he was anachronistic, an old codger who longed to discuss Aristotle or Ray Bradbury or the art of love, but who mostly found himself listening sympathetically to people who did not know who Aristotle or Ray Bradbury were, who certainly spent very little time thinking about love, and whose main worries centered around things happening to them in the present, mostly things that they could do absolutely nothing about. He remembered how sad it seemed when he'd learned that the political leader Adlai Stevenson had said, late in life, that there was no longer anyone to talk to. He found himself shaking off thoughts like this and trying to remember the good. He'd opened his own bookshop and surrounded himself with his trusted friends, the books and materials that he loved, and he made the bookshop into a haven for himself, a barricade against the politically correcting forces on the other side of the drawbridge, on the other side of the moat. And he welcomed anyone who wanted to share his haven for a few minutes, and he learned to be happy when no one was around to share, since even when the shop was devoid of customers, he could discuss Aristotle and Ray Bradbury and the art of love with all the great thinkers of the world, all the great lovers of the world, through the dusty, textured pages of his best and most loyal friends.